Are you a parent? Maybe you're a grandparent parenting those kids, but you're right in the deep end of the pool parenting and you'd like some help. Listen, intentional living, the principles of intentional living, the process, the steps are huge when it comes to being the kind of parent that God intends for you to be. I'll tell you what we're going to do today here at the Intentional Living Center Live. Open the phone lines for parents, grandparents. If you have questions about kids, you have questions about parenting, I'm here for you. I'd love to encourage you, help you, and maybe just give you some questions or feedback to get you to thinking about some of the issues you're facing to help you sort it out. So come on in. The phone line is open. Sort of an open phones on parenting today so you can get on the same page with your spouse, or if you're a single parent, just get on the right page. How's that sound? 888-888-1717 is the number. Comes right on into our Intentional Living Center. 888-888-1717. Questions from parents. Are you ready? Let's go.
Hi, my name is Shannon. My question is regarding parenting one of our children. My husband and I are pretty much on the same page for two of our three children, but our oldest child, who's actually now an adult, is our challenge, and it just seems to be a battle between us, between my husband and I. And our oldest son has recently come back to the house to live with us, and it's become more apparent once again now that he's back in the house. He and my husband don't seem to click very well, and my husband doesn't really discipline until he gets to the point where he just explodes with him. And so I feel like I have to toe the line between them and try to have a good relationship with my son so that he has a relationship with one of us. So I tried to balance discipline and relationship, and it causes tension between my husband and I. So just trying to determine the best way to get some resolution in this relationship.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I wonder what others would do. I'll tell you this. We just went through the great resignation during COVID. A lot of people resigned. And I'll tell you, we get to a place where a mom and a dad, when they're not on the same page, especially with an adult son or daughter, don't get in the middle. Don't get in the middle. It's a great resignation. I think if you're both open to having your son back in the house, first of all, you're using the word discipline. I don't know what that means. I mean, he's an adult. I would set some limits. I would set a contract. I would have an agreement of how the house is going to run. You're welcome to be here, son, but here's what we expect. And if you don't follow this, that's fine. You're welcome to leave, or you're welcome to stay if you want to be a part of the system here. Now, if your husband just is inconsistent and you feel like you're getting sucked into the middle of this deal, I would resign. I'd go to your son and your husband in front of them both. I'd say, I'm tired of you guys arguing. I'm tired of you guys disagreeing, and I'm resigning. I'm not here to fix your problem. You're both adults, and back off. Now, then I would go behind closed doors with your husband and I'd have a serious talk about, listen, we are going to damage our relationship with our son, with each other, if we don't get on the same page with a few of these things. But no mom should be caught in the middle or feel like you're caught in the middle. Have to be the referee. Time to resign, in my view. All right. Thank you for that. The phone line is open. Do you have a question? What do you think when it comes to parenting? This is the most responsible thing that you're ever going to do. It has the greatest consequences for all of eternity and for life. And maybe you're wrestling, would like to have a question answered or some feedback. I'm good at asking the right questions, and I'd love to ask you a few questions, maybe help you think through some things you're facing with your kids, young or old. Give us a call. I'm here. 888-888-1717 is the number. Cassandra is in New Mexico. And so what's your question today?
My question is, before I wasn't Christian and I had a really bad relationship, and I have a daughter with this relationship in the past, and now I'm a Christian, I got married, but My daughter, like his dad, is not Christian. And how do you deal with when they teach her things that they're not right for God, you know?
So when she's at his home, dad's home, the values are different there than when your daughter's with you.
Yes.
And how old is your daughter?
She's 4, but sometimes she comes and sings music that it's not Christian and things like that. And I think that when he gets older, it's going to get worse, you know? Like, how do you deal with that? How?
Now, you had just one child, a daughter?
I have a little boy as well.
Okay, so you got a little boy and a little girl. And are you in shared custody? Is that the children are going back and forth? Is that what's happening?
She just goes and visits 3 times a week.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, listen, it's hard on kids. Kids going back and forth is hard. Any of you doing it, you know it's hard. It's hard on you, hard on the kids. The fact is, if two people as adults could get along, they probably wouldn't have gotten a divorce in the first place. And so you put into that all of the politics and all the issues and that can occur between two people who get a divorce, and the kids often get the trickle-down effect of that in their lives. And we know that packing up, moving here, moving there, and it's stressful for kids and for parents. So the Bible says, to the degree possible, live at peace with everybody. Don't go to war with your ex-husband. Don't go to war with him. Now, there may be some things that you're going to have to put your foot down on in terms of we need to talk this through and make sure things are done in a correct way. I understand that. But here's what we have to do when it comes to these kids that kind of going from one home to another. We have to, as followers of Christ, we either believe it or we don't believe it. When the Bible talks about building a hedge of protection around our kids, you need to pray like crazy, Cassandra, to build a hedge of protection around your kids. Lord, build a protection around those kids. Protect them from messages, from culture, from input into their lives that in any way will draw them away from you. And also give them a hedge of thorns that they'll find no pleasure as they get older and maybe experimenting or doing things that would lead them away from you, further from you, further from the truth, further from Scripture. And then in your home, where you live and you're in charge and you're the boss, don't criticize dad. Just answer questions in a godly way when they come up and be very clear and very intentional in what you believe and how you want your home to be run. I believe, I understand this creates a lot of confusion for kids, but there's a degree of resiliency. Kids are not stupid. They can start to see how dad lives, how mom lives. They can pick up the differences. They're going to make decisions. We pray for that protection. Then we live our lives intentionally. I hope that helps, Cassandra. Listen, I've dealt with a lot of single moms and dads. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Kids always find themselves in a difficult spot. But listen, don't operate out of guilt. Just operate out of intentional love for those kids. Okay? All right. Today, we're talking about parenting questions. I've opened the phone line. If you'd like to talk, give me a call. If you have a question, at 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. And by the way, we're going to be talking more starting next week, but the upcoming conference for couples and parents, if you're a couple and you have kids, you're going to find it'll be helpful, coming to Albuquerque on November 4th. That's a Saturday night. We have limited seating, and you know we've just started the promotion, and I was looking, and I don't know, we're like 15% sold out already, or 20% sold out, and so you might want to check that out. Coming November 4th, Saturday, Albuquerque, for an intentional love marriage date night for couples. Go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. All right. When you have division, how do you handle it? We're going to come back. I think Josh facing something similar with some disunity in his marriage. We'll get to that in just a little bit.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Peter says in 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. I don't think that means standing on the corner beating people over the head. But you know what? People look at us. They've got to say, these people are different or weird. You ever anybody say, why do you do that? Why do you live that way? Why do you make those decisions? I think one of the concerns we all have today, or I have, when I look at our Christian community, we're so much a part of our culture, I wonder if people even see any difference in us at times. How we live, how we choose to live and respond. And yet Peter is saying, always have a defense for why you believe what you believe. And I wrote down here, and I think this is a really powerful thing, and I say this to our members as well and to our team, and when you're on the radio talking to people, be ready to have a defense. We need to know to tell our story. What's our story? Be ready with a defense. Be ready with the story.
And what is your story? That's an excerpt from the lesson that we've had during this month and last. It's a two-part series on the topic of how to actually experience the hope that we talk about on the air. And we experience in worship and praise, but how do you live it out? How do you really experience that hope? Beyond maybe the high of a great worship experience or song, these are great. But how do you experience it every day? It's a limitless supply of hope in Christ. And that's what the lesson is. Six verses this month to encourage you and teach on this topic of experiencing hope. If you want to come and be a part of a ministry that's impacting people for Christ, it's Intentional Living, part of Family Life Radio, funded separately, and your support allows us to continue to do this radio program and our resources here and around the world. So come and join us. We'll sign you up for the master class. You'll start receiving it automatically, just as a way of saying thank you. Your monthly support needed today, just go to the IntentionalLife.com, TheIntentionalLife.com, or you can call if you want to talk to me with a question on parenting today at 888-888-1717.
Hi, my name is Rachel. I have a daughter who is now 17. I was saved in 2018 when she was 12 or 13, and being raised without God in her life, or very sparingly in her life, she completely rejected my faith and chose to go live with her father. At first, it devastated me, and I mean, obviously, it's a big choice, and I just kept praying, and I didn't force anything upon her. I didn't stop talking about Jesus or any of that. But this last May, she called me from school and was having a very rough time at her dad's house, and it made school rough and her grades were slipping. And so with 2 weeks left of school, she came to live with me and brought her grades up within the last 2 weeks, passing her classes. Her anxiety levels that were through the roof had calmed down. Our relationship grew and all of these things because God is faithful, and because I didn't give up hope that he would bring her back to me. She's so much closer to me than we were before even I became a Christian, and counts me as a confidant. And although she is not to where I am with faith yet, she doesn't believe in God, I think her heart has definitely softened to the point where it could happen.
Good for you, Rachel. Listen, stay at it. You're doing a good job day by day parenting. That's for sure. All right. You can join in. Questions, 888-888-1717. Let me go to Linda, who's on the phone in Michigan. Hi, Linda. How are you?
Yes. Good afternoon. I'm doing pretty good. Thank you.
Good. What's your question today?
Yes. My question is, my granddaughter has separated from her son's father. And now there's family events going on, and she's having a little disagreement with her mother about who her mother invites to the family gatherings, because she has been inviting the father of the grandson to a lot of different birthdays and family events. And then my granddaughter now has another gentleman in her life. And so my question, I guess, is what would you recommend in a situation like that when there's another person coming into the situation, and how should my daughter handle this with her granddaughter?
All right, I'm going to have to flowchart all this because we got a lot of moving parts here. Okay, so we're talking about your granddaughter.
Yeah, my granddaughter separated from the father of her son, and her mother, which is my daughter, and my granddaughter kind of have a disagreement with the fact that my daughter wants to continue to invite the father of the little boy to family events, and that's okay, except for now she has my granddaughter, who is the mother, has another gentleman coming into her life, and she doesn't know if she wants to mix both of these men at the same event, father of the little boy and the new gentleman.
Jennifer's tracking with you, but I'm lost. I think that in itself tells you there's a lot of complexity to this relationship,
there is, yes.
And I think that's a big part of it, and what's most important is that we've got a lot of moving parts and so on. All right. I think, first of all, how are you involved in this? Are they asking for your opinion? Your granddaughter's asking for your opinion? Is that what it is?
I was talking with my daughter, who is, you know, my granddaughter's mother, and she seemed to be not knowing for sure. She feels that she still should invite the father of our little grandson, great-grandson, to family events, and his mother, my granddaughter, now doesn't think she should because she's also wants to bring a new gentleman into the family that she's met. So that would be the father of the little boy would be there, plus a new gentleman that her mother is dating.
I got to get a whiteboard out. That's what I need right now. I'm going to track this thing. I'll tell you, I'm with you. And I hear your heart. This isn't what you expected or wanted, how are you feeling about all this?
Well, I told her, I said, when she told me all this, I said, well, I can kind of see both sides of it. You know, for both, I can see her side as the grandmother wanting to be able to have the daddy come to the events with the little boy. And I can see her daughter, my granddaughter's side, that she doesn't know if she wants to have this new gentleman come to the same party that her ex is at, you know, and so I can see both. My daughter's trying to be kind and, you know, let the daddy be there, but yet my granddaughter with this new relationship is just not feeling real good about mixing the two guys together at the same family event.
All right. Now, I think, you know what, when I hear your heart, Linda, and I hear your story, and I know there's people driving, same thing I am thinking, I got to pull over and get a whiteboard out and follow all this. Because life can get very, very complicated. And we've got to work with principles. Every situation is different. And to generalize, this is what you need to do, and it has to be for everybody, is sort of silly in a day and age like today when there's so much complexity. I think the questions we have to answer come back to values. Are people coming into my home or into my life or the life of my children in ways that they're going to have values that I don't want in their lives? And in process, can I put some barriers and boundaries in place in a healthy way? I think that's one question. Second question is, what's in the best interest of that child? Because really, at the end of the day, what matters most isn't the feelings of all the adults who've messed things up to get to the, come on, let's just be really honest, messing things up to get to this place of him and her and us and them, and it gets to be very complex. What's in the best interest of that child? And if you can get some adults in a room and they can say, well, this is what I understand, I get it, I'll back away in this case, and I think it's better. In other words, come to some agreement. And I think a third point is that the parent or parents are ultimately responsible for making the decision. Someday, we as parents are going to stand before God and be held account for how we parented. Now, what I mean by that is we don't make decisions based on I want to be kind or I want to be, I got to make decisions on what's in the best interest of my child. And I do it with love and I execute it the way God intended. But whatever decision you make has to come down to those questions, I think, when it comes to what you're going to do, because our feelings can be up and can be down, and you want to do this and you want to do that, but Yeah, it's got to be in the best interest of the child, and the parents have ultimately got to make the decision. I don't know if that helps you at all, Linda, but...
No, I think it does because, yeah, I think that it should be decision by the parent for what's best for the child. I totally agree with that, and they're just going to have to figure it out that way, I guess. So,
yeah,
she asked me my opinion again. I'll have a little more specifics to give her then.
All right, well, I hope that helps. That's my take on this. Life gets complex. Somebody get me a whiteboard in this studio so I can start tracking all these things. All right, we're talking about parenting today. You're welcome to call in. You have a question for us about parenting, whatever it may be you're facing, maybe as a grandparent with your grandkids. 888-888-1717. Let's go to Wendy in Michigan. How are you today,
Hi.
Wendy?
I am wonderful.
Terrific. What's your question?
I've been married 35 years. He has children. I have one, and we have one together. All of our children feel entitled. I think because my husband's 80 and I'm 70, we're way overdue for making out a will.
Yeah.
How do we handle it?
Well, is the question about a will?
No, how do we handle it fairly? Because each child thinks they should get it all.
Oh, okay. I'm saying you had one before you married, and he had one before he married
he
you.
Two,
and then you had one together.
Correct.
And you've been married 35 years.
35 years, and about 2 years after we married, he retired. So I'm the only one that's still working. And we had our child 5 years after we were married.
Well, I really wouldn't give a rip what the kids think. It's, well, what do you and your husband think? It's your stuff.
Well, my husband, he's old-fashioned, and he's European, and he feels the firstborn gets everything. I don't feel that
I'm
way.
I'm European, and I don't think that.
Well, he does.
Okay.
He thinks that the firstborn, and that's his? That would be his, yeah.
Should get everything.
But I told him, well, I have a firstborn, and then together we have a firstborn. So, you know, how does he feel about that?
Yeah, you got a bunch of firstborns.
It was a bunch of firstborns, depending how you look at it.
I didn't know, and someone's going to have to educate me, I didn't know that there was a tradition that everything went to the firstborn. Did you ever hear that?
Well, he believes like the king, you know, that his first son becomes king.
So you don't have an estate problem. You really have a disagreement. You have a marriage issue, don't you?
No. We agree on just about everything except for what we're going to be leaving to our children. And every one of our children feel that they're the ones that should get it all. You know, the oldest one feels that he's the oldest. He should get it. My oldest feels that she's the oldest. She should get it. And our son together thinks that he's the only one in this marriage. He should get it.
Why don't you not give it to any of them and just send it to charity?
You know what? I would love to do that. I absolutely would love to do that. But right now, he already gave one home to the oldest child, so that really wouldn't be fair for the other ones not to get anything.
So there's a lot involved here.
More or less, but like, how do you just handle it when all your kids are, everybody wants it all?
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't be surprised. That's the case in most families. They'd be happy to get it all, right? I mean, I'm not making light of this. It's a serious problem. I mean, it's a serious issue. I mean, your husband's in his 80s and you guys have been married 35 years and there's four kids involved and, let me ask, how's the relationship between all the siblings and half-siblings? How do they all get along?
Not at all. Because the oldest one thinks he should get it all, so he doesn't talk to anybody. Our child together lives out of state because of his work, so he doesn't really talk to anybody. And then my child from another marriage, you know, they're all kind of separated. They really don't, you know. Mm-hmm. Now, he does have two children from a previous marriage, but... they don't talk together because my husband gave the oldest one already a house, and he didn't think that was very fair.
So right now, at this point, it sounds like you don't really have an estate plan even put together.
No, not at all. Not at all. Because we don't agree. We've made appointments to do it, but I hate to go there and just argue. I mean, it's not really arguing. He said, no, the oldest one gets everything. I'm like, well, no, I think it should be split.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's something that would have been probably you both could have talked about years ago and get resolved, but it's a big issue. My guess, and I'm not an attorney, by the way, so I'm not giving any legal advice or what have you, but I imagine if we had attorneys listening, they would probably be smiling, saying they've seen this kind of thing when there's disagreement. Because you know what? I have found stuff gets really emotional. When a family parents die, it's the stuff that creates the problem with the family afterward. Little stuff sometimes. It's not even big things, just little things, how things were handled. That's why it's so important to get, I believe, to have an estate resolved, get an agreement, mom and dad, husband and wife, come to an agreement, but whatever it is, to get it in print, and so the kids know exactly what to expect or not to expect. It's a really interesting question. We could do a whole show, maybe we should, with an estate planning attorney talking about how do you deal with your disagreement between mom and dad, husband and wife, on how to distribute for the future. Here's what I believe, and then we got to wrap up the show. Got to get back to your values. What's most important? Trying to maintain relationship with the kids. Honoring God in the process, making sure that you're being faithful in that regard. And that ultimately it's the two of you together coming to an agreement. However you do that, I don't know if there's a lot of assets that were brought into the marriage before you got married or whatever, but to get those things resolved. Like I often say, parenting problems often are not parenting problems at all. They're really marriage issues in terms of a couple coming to an agreement. All right. Thank you, Linda. I don't know if we helped, but certainly appreciate being a chance to talk to you a little bit. Wendy, I'm sorry. We're going to take a break and continue on, though, recording after we go off the air for a show that'll air tomorrow. And it's going to continue on this topic. Maybe someone wants to weigh in on what we just heard. Maybe someone, how'd you deal with that when there was a disagreement on an estate and how that impacted your families? And so maybe that'll be helpful for Wendy to listen tomorrow. Dr. Randy here, gotta run. Phone lines open, questions on parenting, whatever they may be. I'll do my best to ask some questions and add in some things from intentional living. But I do know this, at the end of the day, whatever decisions you make, make sure to bring glory to God and benefit to those that you love. I'm Dr. Randy. Have a great day.